B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. A Tuesday show, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio. I'm from Comcast. I thought I would start this show out by telling a story that I saw on Facebook and Twitter about the Eagle fan in Bethlehem, PA, accused of, two fans, two ladies who were a couple. They got into a beef after the Eagles lost the playoff game to the New Orleans Saints. And the one lady was so upset that she put the other lady's Pomeranian in the microwave. Now, ironically, the dog was safe, but ironically, there was a Pomeranian button on the microwave. The new microwaves that we were talking about yesterday, you could do a potato. Apparently, there's now a Pomeranian. See, that's gallows humor. That's like a rim shot. See what, yes, I did there? Because people are still hurting, right? People are really hurting still about this this playoff loss and what the future holds for the Eagles. And I thought that's where the tack that we would take today, the future of the Eagles. We touched on it a little bit yesterday. And I got to be honest with you, I don't know what to expect next year. Now, this plays into also what Carson Wentz has to do next year to satisfy the fan base. Yesterday, I tried to establish the fact that the Nick Foles era is over. All right? Now, a lot of people, they're still holding on to it. Like grim death, they're grabbing on to it. No, we can't let Nicky go. Is there a possible way we can keep him? We'll dispel that completely in this show. But that puts pressure on Carson Wentz. I guess the question is, when you look at next year, what does Carson Wentz have to do to satisfy the fan base? Does he have to get that team in the playoffs? Is the pressure for Wentz now to return, get the team in the playoffs, when he's playing with a deck that's not exactly full? So here's the question I will ask everybody at the start. All these players that we talked about who are now kind of free agents, or you're going to move on from them, and I counted, I think, 8 players who are in that category. 8 players who would normally be starters, not returning. All right, so let's look at them one by one. Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks, Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, Jason Peters, Darren Sproles, Chris Long, Golden Tate. Is that 8? It might be 9, but it's 8. Now, you have to replace those players, okay? Now, I know you've got free agency, you've got the draft. I get it. The Eagles are in a bad cap situation right now. So you'd have to calculate that out. All those salaries that would be removed, which would help you cap-wise, would allow you to sign other players. But that's a lot of players that you have to remix. And I know teams don't really like to do that. They want to have continuity when they're coming back the following year. When you throw 8 new faces and a starting lineup of 22, sometimes it can be problematic. So, in general, we'll go to Tyrone. Tyrone, next year, because we've been caught up with this year and what they were going to do this year, next year is a tremendously puzzling situation for the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm curious to see how you see it in general terms.
In general terms, I'm actually not as pessimistic as you are, because every team has turnover, mm-hmm, every year, whether they want to, okay, or not. And I think they have enough pieces in important spots to where they could survive it. That doesn't mean there won't be pain. They also have to do a better job in the draft this year than they did in the draft last year. They didn't, to me, they didn't even really value the draft last year. Didn't get enough picks. Goddard showed something. They didn't get enough. They have to, so they'll have to bank on drafting well and getting rookies that are ready to play right away, which is hard to do. But it's doable. But I like the fact that Lane Johnson's and Kelsey, assuming he doesn't retire, having a center and a great tackle is a good place to start. Having the quarterback, who I still believe is a stud, is a great place to start. Having Fletcher Cox there is a great place. And Jenkins. So for that reason, I'm optimistic.
But how many players was that? Four?
Yeah, four stalwart players. But
four? And 22 men.
Yeah, but if you look at
is
most
that a
teams.
Four, that's a quorum.
But if you look at most teams, they only have that many guys that are their sure bet guys.
Okay.
Most of the teams, most of the guys have a lot of, you know, interchangeable parts outside of their main core guys. I like their core guys a lot. And now it's up to Howie and Joe Douglas to do a good job around it. But I think it's doable, but they're going to have to take a flyer on a couple veterans from that list. You're going to have to. You can't jettison everyone. The question is, will they guess correctly?
Okay, so let's guess correctly now. We touched on it yesterday a little bit. Are we guessing correctly that you give Brandon Graham a new contract when he'll be 32 by the time that season starts next year, before even camp he'll be 32?
I do not.
Four mini camps.
I do not.
Brandon Graham gone.
Yes.
Chris Long gone.
Yes.
Need defensive ends.
I do. Barnett has to come back strong. Mm-hmm. I have to bring Bennett back. Mm-hmm. I have to.
You have to bring Bennett back.
Have to. Because, again, you can't get rid of everyone. Bennett has to be back. You have to hope. You have to draft somebody. You have to sign somebody. And you need to get lucky with Josh Sweat. That's what has to happen.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Middle linebacker, Jordan Hicks.
He will not be in demand, I believe. If he is in demand for some reason, you let him walk. But I don't believe he's going to be in demand for that reason.
You re-sign him.
One-year deal. And you still have to draft or sign another linebacker as well. But you have, one-year deal because you can get him cheap. You put incentives in if he plays 14 games and blah, blah, blah. But he's back.
Ronald Darby.
Gone.
See, I disagree with that. I'd bring him back. I need that cornerback. He's got, now I don't know what he's going to return after the injury, but I would take a shot on Ronald Darby because I see speed talent in that guy. And I look around and I don't have speed talent in my secondary right now.
Maddox is the quickest that you have on the stop.
Maddox is starting corner. The jury's still out on that. I know you like him.
I don't know if
he's a starting corner. I think he's better served in a backup role.
And then you have to see after a full year to 2 years if Jones is a player. Mm-hmm. And then Mills, who I actually do believe in Mills. Okay. I know he falls for the double move. I believe Mills is a starting corner in this league. I believe in Mills. So that's why I can take the – I think you have enough guys. I wouldn't be mad because, again, he's not going to be in demand. So if you bring him back, you're probably bringing him back pretty cheap.
Okay, so you're saying with Mills, Jones, and Maddox, you've got enough talent at cornerback.
And Douglas. That's a place where I would let him walk and do something.
I'm not a Douglas believer.
I know you're not.
I'm not a Douglas believer.
I know you're not.
All right. So you think you got enough back there. All right. Let's just move on to the offense quickly. Ajayi.
I know B. West said no. I still consider it. I do. A 1 year type of situation, but I'm not relying on him this year. I'm drafting a running back. What I'm doing is providing, I know he can play third down, to protect my quarterback. I don't know if a rookie back will be able to do that.
You're keeping Ajayi.
On a 1 year deal.
You're getting Sproles out of here.
Sproles is gone, and I'm not sure, Smallwood's gone, and Adams might not be back too.
All right, Peters gone?
Peters is probably back.
Bringing Peters back.
But not to play tackle.
What? To play what? Left guard?
He's playing left or right guard. Because I don't know if Brooks is going to play with the Achilles.
Yeah,
I need a guy.
I don't think Jason Peters is gone for that, so he's probably gone. So here's the big question. You know, you got your favorites. You've always had your favorite athletes.
Yep.
And there's one of your favorite athletes that everybody thinks was the next left tackle as soon as they taught him the shape of a football.
Yes.
And that's Jordan Mailata. Do you think that Jordan Mailata can start a left tackle in this league as early as next year?
This is what I think. I think that in the scenario where I ask Peters to play guard, he says no, and respectfully, mm-hmm. I grant him release to see if he wants to retire or move on. I am bringing back Big V. I know he's not great, but I know he can play a little bit. I'm taking a chance on Mailata.
Okay. All right. These are the kind of things we'll talk about today. We'll also talk about the Sixers. They play the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. That means Dario Saric, Roko are back in the building. If you had a chance to do that deal over again, Jimmy Butler has taken the Sixers where? Maybe a little bit of a notch up. If you had the chance to flip it, start all over with the original crew, would you do it? Now, and especially now that Butler's causing a little problem. And also, the love for Nick Foles. Just got an email from a guy. Has anybody on your show shown some love for Nick and wondered optimistically where in his family go next? Let's give the man some love on his way out. He more than deserves it. I'm curious to know what that means. The guy's name's John. John, if you're out there listening, I want to know what your idea of love is. Will we have a mini parade? Like, what do you want? He signs babies' foreheads at a mall? Like, what love do we want to show him? He's a player. He's a mercenary player. He's going to go somewhere else. He's going to make some money. We need to show him love? Natalie.
Yeah,
what kind of love are we showing him?
Well, I'm a little confused because I've done nothing but show him love. I'm the representative who gives Nick Foles love.
I'm talking an outward display of love. Not just, Nick, you're great and you were great. Outward display of love.
He must want like a commemoration.
Yes.
Segment.
If you had it, then that commemoration.
Yeah.
Of Nick Foles, what would it be?
I would probably put together all my favorite sound bites of things that he's said. I should probably do that.
And send it to him.
And yeah, when we could play it and everybody could listen to all the great things that he said.
Be showing love for Nick Foles.
Yeah. Maybe I'll work on that for this week.
Okay. You work on that.
Okay. And then and then John will be happy that we've done some sort of love
thing. I want to know what John wants to do. He's the one who sent me the email. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. We're live at 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Back after this.
Veteran Decisions. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Eagles continue to take care of postseason matters. Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman addressed the media today. Howie discussed making decisions on the veteran players.
These are guys who have done a lot for this football team, for this organization, for this city, and also good people and people you like being around on an everyday basis. You know, we're here a lot. We're in the building a lot. And we're with each other a lot, so when you have people like that, it's hard to separate the emotion. And
Sal Palchuk said with the mic today at 5:15. Flyers beat the Wild last night 7-4. They play the Bruins tomorrow night at home. Sixers will face familiar faces Dario Saric and Robert Covington tonight when the Timberwolves come to town. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Phillies continue their offseason pursuits. Jason Stark will check in with Mike at 4. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our Daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Agonoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Mussinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Two 19, Mike Mussinelli Show, 2 o'clock hour, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. This is their new location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today. Time to start the Twitter poll. That's brought to us, of course, by Paul B. Moore and Sons. From snowblowers to generators and small engines, every part for every machine in stock. When you need it, Moyer will keep you going this winter. Miss Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, are you ready to move on from football season? Over 600 votes on this so far. 57% say yes, Sixers and hot stove, and 43% say no, they're not ready.
Okay, sounds good. Better get ready. That's all I got to tell you. It dropped. It's amazing. Football season, when it ends, it just kind of just falls off a cliff. Boom. And then you're not going to hear about football for a really long time because we're not going to talk about it. We don't care about the... Do we care about the Final Four? Care about it?
No.
Yeah, we're not going to be talking about it, right? Once our squads are out, we're out.
Yeah.
You know, glancing mentions. All right, let's go to Alex in Bethlehem to start things off. Alex, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Alex.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Alex? Good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, I mean, you asked, you know, what does Carson have to do? I mean, first of all, I'm a Wentzman, as Anthony would say, and I'm excited about rolling with him. But you know, he has a huge responsibility now. He has to come in, obviously stay healthy, but you know, he needs to turn this team really into a perennial playoff team.
I agree with you. I think the pressure is on him next year to deliver this team in the playoffs, no matter what form they're in. And I know it's going to be, you know, it's probably going to be tough because he's got to get used to new people. But the expectations after what Foles did, what he did, that puts a lot of heat on his shoulders.
Yep, absolutely. He's going to have about as much pressure as anyone in the league, I think. But here's my concern for the Eagles going forward, Mike. We have a lot of great players on the O-line, D-line, but, you know, all these guys are around 30 years old, 31. The average age of our core players seems really high to me, so I just wanted to kind of hear your thoughts.
No, you raise a great point. Now, like Tyrone mentioned Malcolm Jenkins. Now, how much longer can we count on Malcolm Jenkins to be at the top of his career? All due respect, good player. But I don't know if we, in fact, I don't even know how old he is. How old is Malcolm Jenkins, huh? He's 31 years old. You know, I mean, that old adage about 30-year-old players, I mean, you may have to pay attention to it.
They're on the spot, though. He just played every snap for 18 games. You can't. It's not like you can cut him.
No, you can't. But, you know, that's a wear-down season for him. So he comes in next year. Playing all that time, you wonder when that manifests.
No, you're right. They probably have to put drafting a developmental safety. Well, first of all, they're going to cut McLeod because of how much money he makes. He's going for sure because he makes a ton of money.
Right.
That's the way to get under the cap. So then is Maddox next to him? Are you drafting a rookie to play next to him or signing somebody? And then you probably somewhere in those 10 draft picks, you need to draft a safety who eventually could take over, maybe in another year. I'm just saying you got to rely on him for another. You don't have a choice. You got to rely on him for another year because what choice do you have?
Well, I don't understand the Kelce thing. I don't know if this has been flushed out enough. Like, why is he talking about retirement? Like, what's the deal?
Apparently, this is something that probably from the physical grind. It's something he thinks about every year.
Uh-huh.
This isn't new. It's just somebody mentioned it. Somehow it leaked it, but apparently this is his normal routine. He feels like retiring at the end of the year.
Yeah, he's 31 years old. He's not,
and he was first team All Pro, so right. He's not walking. He's good, but I guess you have to leave that door open. You know, NFL players, certain ones have surprised people. Patrick Willis was the biggest one.
Uh-huh.
He was about that age where he said, "You know what? Enough. I got enough money. I'm good." So,
well, here's the thing about the Eagles now: Wentz is coming back, and the skill players that's a barren land for them. Except for Ertz, and you know, you got Jeffrey, who's now reaching, well, how old is Jeffrey?
28. He's all right.
He looks like an old 28, doesn't he?
He's all right. But you got to hope that they do more 12 personnel. You got to figure it's a lot of two tight and less slot next year. And Goddard's a young, should provide some youth.
They need a toilet flush in their skill situation.
They need more.
They do.
They need more.
All right, let's go Debbie in Reading. Debbie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Debbie.
Yes, I want to know what you think. If they trade Nick Foles and Carson Wentz gets hurt, who are they going to have as a backup that can do anything?
Well, you got to figure it out. I mean, you can always sign a backup quarterback. There's always backup quarterbacks available. It might not be as good as Nick Foles, but you know, either you believe in Sudfeld, or if you don't, you go out and get somebody like, you know, there's always a Ryan Fitzpatrick around, Debbie.
Well, so,
there's no other choice, really. I mean, it's they don't really have any other choice. The Foles thing isn't going to happen again.
Yeah, but Carson Wentz seems to be injury prone.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, what else are you going to? What's your solution?
I say keep Foles because then you have your security if something does.
Yeah,
go
but
wrong.
But you can't feasibly keep Foles.
Uh huh.
You can't do it financially. You can't do it. You really can't do it intellectually either. You can't have Foles on the sidelines with Wentz trying to come back and be a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
See how that works?
Yeah, I see how that works, but I still think you owe Foles something for everything he did.
Well, what would you like to do, Debbie? I'm taking all suggestions.
I'd like to keep him as a backup. I really would.
Yeah, but you can't. You see?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's not feasible financially or intellectually.
Uh-huh. If it wasn't for that salary cap, do you think that would be a problem then?
Well, listen, here's the way it works, right? If they keep him, they take his option on his contract. He's going to make $20 million.
Right.
Wentz makes $8 million. You can't have your backup making more than your starter because it causes dynamic problems. And in addition to that, you're going to have to renew Wentz at some astronomical fee, which they may want to do now, which means then they would be paying like $50 million for two quarterbacks, which you can't do.
Right. Okay,
so send him a card. You know, like get a Hallmark and say, glad you were here.
Thank you.
There you go. Yeah, make sure it's got sequins on it.
You going to use like the little bedazzler? I have a thought, Mike, and I know how the Foles fans are feeling.
It's been a pleasure on the front, and inside he's got some inspirational. Yeah.
But everybody says we need to do something for him. Isn't the best thing that you could do for somebody is give them the freedom to go somewhere else and make money and possibly start somewhere?
Correct.
Yeah, but see, the Folesian society will tell you this. That's not what he's about.
But then they don't really care about him as a person.
Folesian society is saying you don't mess with happy, is what the Folesian society is saying.
Right, but Foles.
You don't mess with happy. So Nick's happy in Philadelphia. He loves his people, and he would be content to just sit there with a clipboard and not make any money. In fact, the $20 million in his contract that's mandated for next year, he would probably be willing to say, you know what, if you cut $14 million out of that, I just want to stay here and be happy.
He wants to play.
He wants to play football.
He dedicated his life to football.
Right, every time they ask him about it, he's giving the Foles answer, but he's basically saying, I want to go, I want to start.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You don't know that.
He says it.
He kind of says it, but he never really says it.
Because he knows that the Folesian society's out there.
The Folesian society doesn't think he wants to play football. The Folesian society says he's comfortable in his own skin as a backup on the sidelines, and when he has to play, he plays. That is his ultimate happiness. No. That's the Folesian society mantra.
And they both have agreed. Carson and him have both said, hey, we got great rapport in this room. They're both kind of saying, it's time for this to end. There can only be one. It's the Mike Missanelli show. For a reason. It's not everybody else's show. It's your show. It's Carson's show, period. And Nick's going to have his own show somewhere else.
If somebody came and offered both you and Natalie a show, you guys would be, you'd say, no, I want to stay with Mike
in Philly,
because I'm happy.
I mean, maybe.
In Philly, I'll never go against you.
I'm saying this because it's preposterous.
But in Miami,
that you would turn down your own show. But the Folesian society thinks that he would turn down his own show. And that it's most important that he stays right here in the good old city of brotherly love.
If you love something, set it free. Yeah. Isn't that the saying?
You're right. And then
the Eagles are going to set him free, but if the guy doesn't want to be set free and he's holding on to the cage like this and he doesn't want to go, he's not going to fly away.
The Folesian society has to prepare to set him free because they love him.
Right. Get league pass. You can watch him when the Eagles aren't playing out down Jacksonville. Get league pass. Watch him in Jacksonville. It'd be great. You can still watch the Eagles. You can look, because now you get to enjoy Wentz and Foles for the first time. Because he's out of here.
How about it?
You don't want to be here.
I'm being preposterous.
I know.
Yeah, I'm just playing like a poor Debbie. She doesn't understand why he can't stay here.
Debbie speaks for a lot of people.
I understand that, and I was trying to explain to Debbie that that's not feasible for it to happen. But people are holding on. Like, I'm telling you, they don't want to let go. They think that it is realistic that Nick Foles will just want to be here as a backup, and he would turn down. Forget that. First of all, they don't understand the $20 million versus the $8 million. Backup quarterback making 20, starter making 8. They don't understand that concept. But they also think that he would actually not want to play for $20 million if it's problematic for the team because he loves it here so much. And he's not about money. How many times have you heard people say, it's not about money with Nick? Because they know him intimately. Apparently, they sit at the breakfast table with him every day. Right. It's not about money.
And it's always a little about money for everybody, Mike. Even if you're not trying to get the most money, you also don't want to get shortchanged. So maybe when he signs his new contract, he signs for 25 per versus 28 per. Or 23 per versus 20 per. That still doesn't mean that you don't care about money at all. They act like the guy's a monk. He didn't take a vow of poverty. He needs money.
What's one of the seven deadly sins?
Greed.
That's not greed. You know how many people he can help? He's already a charitable guy. $100 million, you know how much he can give? If he gave half, his family still be good.
Yeah.
But he still needs that $100 million to give half.
He's making $6 million next year to be a backup. What's wrong with that?
Come on, man. Come on.
I can use $6 million. Take $6 million. I'll put that to good use.
You would.
If I could put it to good use, Nick Foles can put it to good use.
Mike, you
he's
would
not buying anything elaborate.
You wouldn't take $6 million if you can make three times that. You wouldn't take. I tell you what. If they told you you walked out the studio door for a commercial break, they said, Mike, we're cutting your salary by 2/3. I'd have to finish the show. You'd be out of here.
No, I love it here so much. In fact, today.
Stop.
Today we were entertaining some advertisers today, right?
Yeah.
So we walk in the front door and I see like a big sign. Welcome so-and-so from so-and-so to Fanatic, blah, 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 blah. I can tell you, I've never gotten any sign. I've been walking in here for 10 years. I've never gotten a sign. Welcome, Mike.
That's a violation.
Thanks for being here at 97.5 The Fanatic. Never gotten it. So I made my own damn sign. Did I?
Yeah, it was nice.
What did I say?
Nice song.
The 97.5 The Fanatic welcomes Mike, Ty, and Nat.
Yep.
With little stick figures.
Little stick figures.
So I think they took it down, though.
Yeah.
They took it down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See that?
I don't know who, but... Yeah.
See, they were resentful.
Yep.
I was trying to make a point. Maybe occasionally, you get our graphic artist...
He's very talented.
He's very talented. Maybe he can make a sign, welcome Mike, Ty, and Nat.
I'd love that.
Mark Kachuk. Mark, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Mark.
Yo, what's going on there?
What's going on, Mark?
How you guys doing?
How you doing?
I'm great, man. I just got a couple questions for you. All right. Well, first, I agree with you. You know, NFL's a business, so it doesn't make good business sense for Nick Foles or the Eagles for him to stay. Secondly, how would you feel about the Eagles if they were to get a trade for Antonio Brown?
Am I supposed to say I don't like that?
You
ask me a loaded question, like when you lob me a softball here. No, Mark, I'd hate it. What's going on back there in Conshohocken?
Oh, that's my 1-year-old daughter.
Oh my God, you okay there? Are you okay to talk? Or you want to handle that business?
Nah, she just wants me to pick her up.
I'll give her the phone.
I got her.
All right,
and then. I also wanted to get a violation ruling from you, buddy.
All right, go ahead.
All right, so I'm playing my 7-year-old in NBA, and it's the third quarter.
Uh-huh.
I'm winning 84-23. Is that a violation to beat my son that day?
Of course it is. 84-23. What, are you kidding me?
I mean, look, the kid's got to learn how to lose, man. You know, that's my thinking on it, buddy.
He's got to learn how to lose. I mean, you could have taken 30-foot jump shots the whole time.
I was taking threes most of the time, man, you know, and draining them.
All right, so, well, like, was he getting frustrated?
Oh, yeah, he threw the controller down the left wing.
Well, listen, I probably would not choose your method, but if you want to teach him a lesson, maybe that'll motivate him to get better on the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to show him.
Uh-huh. All right, well, I mean, maybe it'll work that way. Good luck with that.
All right, thanks, Mike. Have a good one,
all
buddy.
All right, buddy. There you go.
What do you say,
84-23?
Yeah, 84-23.
That's a lesson. How old was the kid?
7.
Now,
see, you would do that.
Yeah, he would.
Yeah, Tyrone would do that.
My uncles used to do that to me when I was that age. You learn hard lessons as a kid in my family. But I will say all of mine I had coming because I was talking trash. So you talk trash, you get punished. Now, if that kid didn't talk trash, that's excessive. But if the kid talked trash, gotta learn a lesson. Don't write a check your butt can't cash. It's a good lesson.
See, I don't know what the best way to handle that is.
Kids talking trash.
Probably should not play the kid. He has to hone his skills against
the computer.
The computer or with friends. And then when he's ready to take on dad. Because that's like playing basketball in the driveway. You know, you're going to snuff your kid?
My dad never let me win. Never.
Now, see, my dad challenged...
How old were you when he was dominating you?
My dad dominated until he couldn't anymore. He never let me win.
Wait, how old were you? Like, look, 7 years old, he's dominating you?
Yeah, I'm not going to win. He let me get a couple shots off, but I would lose.
No, he would block your shot?
Yeah, not all the shots, but some, yeah. Especially if I made one and I would get cocky, the talking is what always would do it. I would trigger him, and once I talk trash, that's it. No more points.
See, my dad would challenge me, but he wouldn't be like, he wouldn't beat me like that. But when we would practice soccer, he would kick that ball full speed to make me get it.
Were you a goalie?
No, I wasn't a goalie, but he wanted me to be prepared for it. I was a defender.
Well, you got to be ready for somebody coming downhill at you quick.
And then he told me to step on the inside of their shoes.
Basketball is different.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's like you have to get off your shot. And if you like the old man's blocking the shot, that's not right.
No, I would get shots off, though.
I would box his ass out and not let him get a rebound after he missed, but I don't think I would, you know? Yeah. That's what you got to learn. You got to, you know, your loose ball, get your body in position.
Yeah, he would also try to teach during the games. Teaching, you know, throughout the whole game. But I wasn't going to win, ever.
Yeah, people ask me all the time, didn't you miss sitting down having a son and, like, teaching him stuff? I go, no. No. I never at one point, like, missed that. Like,
no.
Like, yelling from the stands at a kid playing ball or something like that. You know, it's just not me.
You enjoyed the recitals. The dance recitals.
She's the dancer. I went to see her recitals. Matt in Quakertown. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, Matt?
Not much. Just pondering on the Eagles season, what they need to do this offseason. I think it's more of a reload, not like a rebuild. That's what teams have to go. If you're like going to be a Super Bowl contending type team, you just have to reload with what you got. And I think they need to get younger. At the core skill positions, especially at running back and wide receiver.
But what are you reloading on? What you said you reload on what you have? Who are you reloading with? The guys? Are you suggesting that some guys have to come back?
I'm thinking about bringing back Hicks. You always need a middle linebacker because if you don't have a linebacker out there, it's just like a crapshoot. You'll just run circles on the
defense. But he's hurt all the time.
True. You are true about that.
And at this point, you know, these guys that have been knick-knacked and you can't count on them, I gotta go in another direction.
It's true. No, it's true because you got to save money. And I also think another thing about this team, they got to start drafting better. You got to hit on at least 3 draft picks as your average to build a solid foundation.
I agree. You should 3 of 10 they should be able to hit on, right?
Yeah, you have to start hitting on draft. That's why teams like New England are like dominating for so long. Eagles could have drafted Sonny Michel last year because New England picked him like maybe 2 spots ahead. You could have traded up and gotten him, and I see him dominating in the playoffs.
They didn't think they needed that skill position. See, they made some misjudgments last year, but you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Now, in the case of Hicks, ask yourself this. Are we talking about Mike Singletary here? Well, all due respect, nice guy, smart, makes some plays, but, you know, he's kind of expendable in my view.
It's
like
true.
Michael Kendricks, the same guy. Like, all the people, Michael Kendricks has got great athleticism, right? What, you know, sometimes it comes a point in time you got to see the reality situations.
Yeah, No, you make good. You make good points, and it's a very strong front seven draft this year. So Eagles got to do something with it.
All right. So their starting line is fine. Tyrone, Barnett, Bennett, Cox, Jernigan. We okay there?
Well, Nott is definitely gone. Here's the problem. You let him walk. Let's say you do. You got to sign a guy. And once again, with one of those 10 picks, you got to draft a guy, too.
What? Are you bringing Jernigan back? Are you cutting him?
He played well down the stretch. I don't know his medicals. How bad is that back right now? Like, will he need another surgery? I don't know enough about his back, but probably. You probably need him. He's not old. And they played really different when he was in there. Like, could you afford to let him walk, Mike?
Yeah.
You can afford to let him walk, you guys.
Yeah, he's an injured player. He played, well, how many games? I can't judge the merits of a player and say he's my starter when he's got a back problem and they put him together to play four games.
Well, that's why I said I don't know his medicals. You have to check what is his back status right now.
Well, like a back situation is a back situation.
Well, not all backs are the same.
If you got a disc problem, you got a disc problem. That doesn't go away. They may be able to temporarily do something to it, but it's still there. Once your back has a disc problem, it always has a disc problem.
So you let him walk, and then who you got? Oh, well, I guess you found Trevon Hester. Maybe you could develop him. I'm asking.
This is why we're going down. This is a path littered with broken glass.
That's not great.
610-632-0975. Mike Mesnelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, it's 247, Mike Mesnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. So today, a very unusual circumstance here today. I did the Fox show this morning.
Oh.
And I was on with the crew. And we were talking about this very subject. But no matter how, what time I'm on, it always takes me like an hour to get back home. I understand it. It from the city to get where I live, like the traffic and whatever it is, getting out, or like whether you go on Vine Street Expressway or whether you go Whistler West River Drive, it's the same thing. So like I'm trudging along. I finally get close to my house. I'm like an Alaskan with a dog sled finishing the Iditarod, right? So I get behind a school bus.
Of course.
At that time, it's cool.
Yeah.
So the school bus stops at one block. Loads the kiddies, parents there. Next block, another stop. The third block is the school.
What?
Oh, no.
The third block is the school. The kids got on the bus to go a block.
It's cold.
No. That main line, that's a different life out there.
Yeah.
Man.
The main line.
They got on the bus. The parents are there. I'm going, Holmes, put a coat on and walk your kid to the school for two blocks.
Those kids don't live like that.
They got on the bus and it literally went two blocks to max.
And those mainline kids are coddled, man.
They're not allowed to be cold at all.
They never get cold.
No, they won't know what cold
Wait,
is.
Serious?
Never.
No, seriously. Now, if the parents weren't there, I could see it, right?
Right.
You send little Johnny and you want him to get on the bus.
And teach you responsibility
and
stuff.
The kids there and he gets on the bus. The parents are there. You know, watching him get on the bus. Walk the kid. What happened to that?
They don't have to walk him, so they're not going to.
They should have to walk him, though.
Why?
Because it's the process of getting to school.
No, if I'm a parent, don't I think it's ridiculous that my kid gets on a bus and has to go two blocks? As a human being, Natalie, could I look at myself in the mirror at that?
I mean, if you're looking at your what you're paying in taxes for the school district,
I don't think the taxes justified
that way.
I don't think the taxes are that high.
No,
in the school district.
No, they're not high like in Jersey, for example.
No, because there's no new construction in that.
No, but I'm saying if the service is offered and it's 20 degrees out,
no,
it's really. I mean, I don't know.
We used to have to walk that far to the bus stop.
I walked that far to the bus stop.
I didn't have a bus.
I wish I had a bus.
Yeah, I have a bus system. Oh, well, I grew up.
I mean, that's ridiculous. You gotta have a bus.
That's ridiculous.
You gotta have
in
a bus.
In a small town, that means anybody can walk to school.
Well, if it's that close,
across town.
We had to walk that long to the stop, and then we would get there early so we could play football or whatever in the cold. We'd play at the bus stop.
Two blocks.
It doesn't make any sense.
And the kids get off the school and they run to the school. I go, this is like you could have gone out your back door and ran to the school.
That's weird.
All right, let's go, Kevin, in Delaware. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kev.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
I want to talk about Nick Foles. But, I really want to talk about Ronald Darby, but I want to say this thing real quick about Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nick Foles for what he did for Philadelphia, and I wish him nothing but the best. Whatever he decides to do or don't do. Now, Ronald Darby, I couldn't believe, I almost came to that TV when you said that you wanted to bring him back.
Yeah.
You want to bring back a guy that had a beat on a tight end and said, no, let me back up and chase him down from behind.
Let me ask you a question. How many quarterbacks and cornerbacks in the NFL really like to hit? But Deion Sanders, he liked to hit?
Okay, Mike.
What?
Swartz said that you cannot play defense. You can't play corner for him if you can't tackle.
Yeah, come on, man. The guy runs 4.3. All right? Now, how many people run 4.3?
Mike.
He's got a torn ACL, so I don't know if he's coming back as 4.3. But you gotta, like, I understand what you're saying, because I don't like that either. But, like, Asante Samuel couldn't tackle you either, right? But he was a valuable corner in the league for a while, wasn't he? If you can stay with a receiver, that's what I care about. If you've got that kind of speed to keep up with guys who are trying to beat you long, I think that's a valuable asset.
You do?
Yeah, okay. Because Douglas doesn't have that. Mills doesn't have that, right?
Right, well.
Who has that you're trotting out there for the Eagles that can run 4-3 with receivers?
I guess we're in a tough situation.
Yeah, see, you're looking at the macho part of it. You got to throw that macho part of it out, Kevin. Seriously.
I want a guy who can tackle, though, too.
Yeah, you don't need that. You know, you don't want guys, you want your linebackers to tackle. You want your safeties to tackle. The quarterbacks get away with not tackling.
They do?
Yes.
Okay, Mike. All right, Mike.
Well, Bobby, what's his name? Did he tackle? He couldn't tackle Tyrone. Bobby Taylor. He can tackle anybody.
But Troy Vincent tackled.
Though. Troy Vincent tackled a little bit.
And Al
Bobby
Harris
Taylor
tackled.
Didn't tackle at all.
No. I really liked him.
Cornerbacks don't tackle. It's an exception.
Yeah, Douglas
is
a good,
rule.
Well, that's what we got spoiled because Maddox
Douglas
and Douglas
is a tackler. He can't cover anybody.
Yeah. Well.
What do you want? A or B?
You want A.
Which is A?
Covering.
All right.
Deion didn't tackle, but Revis didn't tackle either. He put the guy on the island.
No, because they don't want to get there. They want to stay on the field. They're not in there to mash anybody. They go, I got all these guys in front of me that are there to mash. I got safeties that can't run with me. That's why they're playing safety, not corner. You tackle. David Holmesburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
How you doing today, Mike?
What's going on, Dave?
Still a little old days, but I'd definitely bring back Darby.
If he can still run at 4.3, like, I don't know, the ACL. Who knows what you come back from the ACL? So it's iffy.
No, I know it's iffy, but you know, like you said, you got to have cover out there, which we're not getting.
You got to have speed. You know, I got to have speed in my backfield.
Mike.
Yes.
What kind of defense do the Eagles play? Is it a 4-2-5?
It mostly. Yes.
Really?
Yeah, mostly it's a nickel.
That's what I like. I want a stud linebacker there.
Yeah, well, you need one. You got Bradham, and Bradham's good. The Hicks position, he can't stay on the field, so you may need to go in another direction.
I want a stud middle linebacker.
You know, they don't do that
anymore.
That's
what we need.
Yeah, but they don't. That middle linebacker thing is, you know, the Dick Butkus days are gone.
Yeah, but you got some good ones out there. You got some. You know, they got to give you
sports. You got to move. As a linebacker, you got to move these days. You got to cover people. You can't be, you know, like the guy that sits in the middle and looks to mash people. They send guys in your direction now, and you got to be mobile.
I agree with you there, but you know, you can bring back Hicks to the outside. I want to start in the middle, help with that front four.
Yeah, again, you're
so bad.
Yeah, and very few teams are playing with three linebackers anymore, bro.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got another question. I want to ask about the Sixers.
Yes.
I like Butler. I think it's not him. I think it's the coach.
Well, you would not be in the minority. I think a lot of people think it's the coach. I don't think it's the coach. I think they need better players. They need to blend a little more with their starting team, and they need better players. I like Dave, though. He's an old-timer, you can tell. Because he's seen those NFL films where you get the linebacker in the cold weather snorting through his nose. Like, he's perched. He's perched like this. Like, that before they had to even worry about covering. Yeah,
just straight ahead.
Now the running back's in your area, and the guy's still snorting, and the running back's behind him catching balls. 610-632-0975. Mike Masnelli Show, 97.5 Fanatic.
Fanatic Sports Update.
Watching Nick, this Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. Eagles continue to take care of postseason matters. Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman addressed the media today. Doug discussed the benefits of Carson Wentz watching Nick Foles.
Carson, listen, he's still a young quarterback, and he's still learning this game and learning the position and just watching guys throughout the league. And it's a valuable experience, obviously, being able to watch guys like Nick play.
Sal Palchuk said with Mike today at 5:15. Flyers beat the Wild last night 7-4. They play the Bruins tomorrow night at home. Sixers will see familiar faces Dario Saric and Robert Covington tonight when the Timberwolves come to town. Robert Covington will not be playing in the game tonight with an ankle injury. You can hear that game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Phillies continue their offseason pursuits. Jason Stark will check in with Mike at 4. Our Big Green giveaway keyword is coming up at 4 for your chance to win $1,000. Skip the line at the slopes and stop by Buckman's Ski Shop to get your ski or snowboard rentals. For the holiday weekend, Buckman Ski Shops are family-owned. Visit Buckman Ski and Snowboard Shops in Montgomeryville, Doylestown, and Ardmore. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Wait.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.